All righty. We thank you for joining us here at the Queen's Ministry for our regular morning Bible study time. And though we may be in a virtual setting, God has still allowed us the opportunity to come together so that we can study His Word and be in fellowship. So we are so thankful, so very thankful for what the Lord has done and how He has made a way. And so we are continuing in our study here at the Queen's Ministry, our study where we began several weeks ago, entitled Seeing Jesus in the Teachings of James. What we've been doing for these last couple of weeks is looking at the book of James, or the letter of James, and seeing how he was instructing the Christians, the Jewish Christians, wherever they were, because they got separated and scattered at this time, and he was encouraging their hearts and reminding them of some lessons that they need to hold fast to. And once we began to study this lesson found in James, we recognized that James was teaching similar lessons that Jesus had spoke about when he was here in the earth. And so we saw parallel teachings from James and from when Jesus uttered these lessons on the Sermon on the Mount in particular. So we've been going back and forth from James and in Matthew's Gospel. We've been focusing on Matthew's Gospel, even though we know in all the Gospels account there is the stories or the narrative relating to the Sermon on the Mount. But we've been focusing on the book of Matthew in particular and seeing where James was mirroring somewhat the teachings of Jesus. And so we want to say to you today, join with us as we continue in our lesson, as we continue to get a greater understanding of the book of James in light or in parallel to the teachings of Jesus. And we know Jesus was a great teacher, and he left so many profound lessons for us to live by. First, as an example, he showed us how to do it. And then, as written instructions and oral instructions, we can hold fast to those teachings. So, we want to begin. Again, we've been in this particular study for a couple of weeks. So we're going to start at, if you have our lesson, we invite you to contact our church office if you would like a hard copy of our lesson, and that will get out to you as soon as possible. But in the meantime, we're going to be looking at James 4, verses 2 and 3 on today. And then we're going to give you a chance to put your finger at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. Let me repeat that for those that are listening. We're going to start with James 4, verses 2 and 3, and then we're going to jump over to see what Jesus has to say in that same teaching at Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. So that's where we're starting right now. All right, I'm going to read James 4 and verses 2 and 3. And it says, "You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." Doesn't that sound so modern? So now we see people want, and they don't even want to work for what they want. They try to take it, and when they can't get it easily, they'll bribe, they'll steal, they'll even kill for it. And here, James is saying, you lust after other things, you covet, you desire other things that you don't have, and when you don't have it, you murder, and then you fight, and then you stage wars. Countries fight against each other in war to get what the other country has. And James is saying, you don't have these things because you don't simply trust God enough. And this goes back even to what we learned in our Sunday morning service through the Bible Project, how God has offered abundance, and yet because of our selfishness, our stinginess, we act as if there is not enough for everyone. And so that's some of the reason why we lust after other people, because we're desiring, thinking that there is not enough for everyone, and yet God offers us abundance. And James says here, another reason is because we don't even ask God for the things that we want. So let's go to Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 to 8. I'm going to read that in your hearing and see the similarity. Now, we've already kind of touched on this earlier, but let's read it again. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. So what is the teaching there? Again, this is one we've already kind of touched on, but the teaching there is simply, ask and you can receive. Ask and you can receive. Let me say it one more again. The teaching there is ask and you can receive. James is saying you're missing out on some things because you haven't asked for them. And then Jesus is saying here, if you ask, you can receive. If you knock, you can. The door can be open. And if you seek, you will find it. So the theme or the teaching there is ask and you can receive. But you had to ask in faith. Remember that. Remember, we have to ask in faith, because if you ask not in faith, you are like, James says, the man who acts is in doubts, and he's like a double-minded man, unstable. So you have to ask in faith. Mark 11 says, have faith in God. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe. So you got to ask in faith. So the other part of that is ask and you can receive, but put next to that, ask in faith, ask believing, ask knowing that God is able to meet every need. Alrighty, great. All right, so that's the teaching found in James 4 and 2 and 3 and Matthew 7, 7, 8. Let's move on to the next one, James 4 and 4. And we're going to stay in Matthew, but we're going to chapter number 6, okay? Give you an opportunity to get there. We're going to read James 4 and 4. And we're going to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. So James 4 and 4 says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Let me repeat that. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Well, let's go over to Matthew 6, 24, and see what the teaching is there. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. My version says money. Oh my goodness. So we have to make a decision, y'all. We have to decide, are we for God, or are we gonna drown ourselves in the things of the world? Jesus is saying to us, we cannot have two masters. You're either gonna serve one or the other. You cannot serve both at the same time. So James is saying it in another way. He says, whoever is a friend of the world, who makes the world his priority, you then are against the things of God. So what's the teaching there found in those two thoughts? serving God versus friendship with the world. We have to decide. That's the teaching. We have to decide whether we're going to serve God or have friendship with the world. Meaning we're going to absorb the things of the world and negate the things of God. So the teaching there again is we have to decide whether we're going to serve God or have friendship with the world. And what I mean by friendship, I mean we are going to allow the desires and the things in the world to have priority in our lives over the things of God. And Jesus is saying you got to decide one or the other because you can't do both. And here is, he's not negating having money. He's just saying when you make money your rule, when you are desiring fame and fortune and power over following the teachings of God, then you have allowed the money to become like an idol in your lives. And again, God has condemned us for trying to serve idols. He has rebuked us for trying to serve little gods. He wants us to give him fully our hearts and our minds, our lives. Right? So again, the teaching there is we have to decide whether we want to serve God or have friendship with the world. And everybody's probably thinking of the verses, we're in the world and not of the world. Yes, that fits there too. We are in the world. Yes, we have to abide by the limitations of the world, but we don't have to be like the world. Okay? Praise God. Amen. Let's move on to the next one. We're going to James 4, verses 9 through 10. And then we're going to look at Matthew 5 and 4. So we're going to start with James 4, verses 9 through 10. And then look at Matthew 5, verses number 4. Okay, let me read James 4, 9 through 10 in your hearing. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Let me repeat that. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Well, what is the teaching found in Matthew 5 and 4? Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So here James is saying sometimes when you have to weep and mourn, when your joy turns to sorrow or sadness, when you humble yourselves before God, he will lift you up or he will comfort you. He will bring about what you need in your lives. Amen. So when we again trust God and allow even our emotional state to be in his hands, he will not only lift us up, but he will comfort us. So what's the teaching found in both? There is comfort when we mourn. There is comfort when we mourn. There is comfort when we mourn. Alrighty. Praise God. The teaching found is this. There is comfort when we mourn. Amen. Praise God. We're going good this morning, y'all. I'm being blessed. I don't know about you. and we just have a few more to go. Let's go down to James 4, 11 through 12. And we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 7 and look at verses 1 through 5. Again, we're going to go down to James 11 through 12 and go back to Matthew 7 verses 1 through 5. Alrighty, great. Let me read James 4 verses 11 through 12. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Ooh, those are biting words. Those are sharp words shown to us by James that we need to be careful of our critical thinking and speaking. Who are you to judge another? You are not the lawgiver. He said there is only one lawgiver. I hear you, James. What does Jesus teach on the same subject matter? Simply, Jesus says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. I'm going to stop right there. I know I said 1 through 5, but I think we hit it right there on verses 1 and 2. You can read the remainder of the verses 3 through 5, and you will see Jesus talking about having a speck in your eye, trying to pull that out of your eye, and you don't even pay attention that you got the whole beam sticking out of your own. He said, first take care of your own eye before you try to point the finger at somebody else and say, look at you. Look at yourself first. Clearly, you can't see to remove the speck out of your brother's eye when you got the beam or the plank sticking out of your own. So that's what Jesus is saying in verses 3 to 5. Take care of yourself, because you got some stuff going on in your own lives that you need to be working on, and not so busy pointing the finger out to other people. Amen. So the teaching there is similar. What's the teaching? We are warned against judging others. We are warned against judging others. The teaching there in both the narratives is this. We are warned against judging others. That's right. Somebody pointed out once and said to us that when we point out one finger to somebody, we got at least three pointing back at ourselves. We are warned against judging others. And remember, Jesus said the same measure you judge others will be used against you. That's right. You're critical of someone else. Guess what? Others may find that same critical look on you. So be careful, because the same measure, the Bible says, that you use, that measure will be used on you. Be careful about judging others. We are warned against judging others. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Amen. Now, I know that takes some time for us to get used to, because we're so prone to doing that. But with the help of the Spirit in our lives, the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can rise up to that level of being. Amen. We just got to continue to work on it. That's why I say all the time, we are striving. Anytime somebody think they got it all together, all they got to do is pick up the Bible and see where they fall short. Come on here, somebody, and let's praise the Lord together. Amen. 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 Alrighty. So let's move into the next one. James 4, verses 13 through 14. James 4, verses 13 to 14. And we're going to go to Matthew 6 and 34. Matthew 6 and 34. And I'm going to read James 4, 13 to 14. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Let's go to Matthew 6 and 34. What does Jesus teach you on that? Jesus says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. So we see there, we talk about doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that, when the Bible is saying to us that we need to be careful that we don't get so caught up in doing that, praise God, that we forget that we don't have no control over our todays and our tomorrows. They're in God's hand. Amen. So what is the teaching there? We ought to just live for today. Amen. That's the teaching. Live for today. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We just need to live for today. Let me say that one more again. Live for today. Each day has enough trouble. Don't get so caught up in what's going to happen. Plan for tomorrow. No, let's not get that misunderstood. Plan for tomorrow. Plan for ahead. Set aside. Build your nest egg. Yes, but don't get so caught up trying to live in the future that you mess up your present. Because your present, guess what, will become your future. Amen? Live for today. That's what we're being taught in this lesson. Live for today. Amen. Alrighty, so let's move on to the next one. We're going down to James, the fifth chapter of James, verses 2 and 3. James 5, verses 2 and 3. And then we're going to stay right there in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verse number 19. Alrighty, so James 5, verses 2 and 3. And we're going to be looking at Matthew 6 and 19. Let me read James 5, 2 and 3. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded. You have heaped up treasure in the last day. Wow. Again, James used some biting language. He definitely knows how to hit the mark. He's saying your gold and your silver are corroded and your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eating. You're building up this treasure that is not good. What is found in Matthew 6:19? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy. We can hear somebody. Please mute your phone. We hear you in the background. Please mute your phone. Thank you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Let me say that one more again. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? They're going to deteriorate. They're going to go bad. Things are going to happen. People are trying to take it away. Remember we talked about we live in a generation. Even then, so much so now, where people want to take what you have. They don't even want to work for it. They're going to break in and steal it. You've built up your treasure so that somebody else going to try to enjoy. So here the teaching is, be careful with your earthly treasures because they won't last. be careful with your earthly treasures, because they won't last. That's right, your earthly treasures will be spoiled. They will become corrupt. They will become corroded. They will be destroyed. They may even be taken. So be careful with your earthly treasures. They won't last. So that goes back to the teaching where don't put so much stock in what you have. Place your trust in God. Amen. Be careful with your earthly treasures. They won't last. Again, they can become corrupted. They can be destroyed. They become corroded. Jesus says the moths and the vermin can destroy it, and even thieves can break in and steal. So be careful with your earthly treasures. And again, we're not teaching for you not to store up. We're not teaching for you not to plan. We're just teaching that you have wisdom, godly wisdom, and how to handle your treasures. Amen? So that you don't get caught up in building this treasure house thinking that you got it all together and then it becomes destroyed and you're left with nothing. Place your hope and trust in God as you make provision for a tomorrow, asking God to keep your treasures. Not putting so much stock in them, but putting the trust and hope in Him that He will watch over you and protect what is yours. Amen? Praise God, somebody. Let's give God some glory and some praise. He is certainly worthy of our praise. Be careful of your earthly treasures. They may not last. Amen? Praise God. Alrighty, saints, let's move on. We're coming down to the last two here. James 5, verses 10 through 11. James 5, verses 10 through 11. And we're going to look at Matthew 5, verse number 12. Alrighty, again, that's James number 5, verses 10 through 11. And we're going to look at Matthew 5, verse number 12. Let me read James 5, 10 through 11. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. And Matthew 5, verse 12 says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And we see in the preceding verse, verse number 11, that Jesus said, blessed are you when people insult you, when they persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Get happy, rejoice, and be glad, because you got a great reward in store for you when you get to heaven. And then take note, they did that to the prophets. And we know they even do that to Jesus. So you in good company. Amen? You in good company. And don't, in other words, don't get bogged down with feeling like you're the victim and all by yourself. You're not. Take, for example, the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. They're speaking God's spokesperson, and yet they were examples of having to suffer and learning how to have patience. And James said, we count them blessed. Jesus said, blessed are you when men revile you, persecute, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So if you are persecuted because of your faith in Jesus, because of your religion, because of your belief, take hope in knowing that you are in good company. Amen? Yes, you are. So what's the teaching there? The teaching is that you may have to suffer because of who you are, but rejoice because you are blessed. What's the teaching there? You may have to suffer because of who you are, but take note, you are blessed. The prophets before you are examples. Jesus is an example. When men persecute you, when men revile you, say false things against you, Jesus said, don't get upset. Matter of fact, rejoice and be glad, because you are blessed. Blessed are you. And even James says, indeed, those who endure are blessed. So again, what's the teaching? You may have to suffer because of who you are. Not because of who you are, because of your name and situation, but because of who you are, because of your faith in Jesus, because of your faith in God. That's to who you are I'm talking about. Because you are a believer. You may have to suffer because you want to stand up for right. You may have to suffer because you want to be on the side of love and the side of humility. You may have to suffer, and suffering may not be in the sense that people are beating you. It could be they're insulting you, saying all kinds of evil against you. That's the suffering Jesus is talking about. He says, but rejoice. Listen, don't fall victim. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because you got a great reward in store. So you may have to suffer because of who you are, but rejoice. You have examples of others going the same way and doing the same way. So rejoice and know you are blessed. You may have to suffer because of who you are, but rejoice, because you are blessed. Amen. I hope you all can get that message today. Praise God. That you may have to go through sometimes just because you're willing to stand for truth and speak truth to power. But rejoice. Hold on. Don't get down. Rejoice instead and be glad, because you have a great reward in store for you. Amen. Praise God. Here's our last one, saints. We were on James 5 and 12. And we're going to stay right there in Matthew 5. We're going to verses 33 to 37. We're going to be looking at James 5, verse number 12. And we're going to look at Matthew 5, 33 through verse 37. Let me read James 5 and 12. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. But let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. What did Jesus teach on this similar thought? Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Wow. Good teaching. Good teaching. We're warned against making oaths. And not the oath that we're talking about when you go to a courtroom and you put your hand that you are going to stand and declare the truth. That's not the oath here. It, to me, is the boastfulness that we come sometimes get into, or the retelling of a situation that we sometimes embellish to make it seem or make it feel more than it is. When we answer more than just yes, or we embellish our response, is what the warning is against. Because you can't make anything by your declaration, because you are not God. And as Jesus pointed out, the heaven is God, the earth is the Lord. Even swearing by Jerusalem, even your own self, because you can't even do anything as far as your physical makeup, as far as how you were made, because God is saying, I am God, and beside me there is no other. So be careful with your speech, embellishing it, trying to make yourself look more than you are, and saying, I'm making this statement by such and such. You have not the authority to do that. So be careful. We are warned against making oaths. O-A-T-H-S. And again, we're not talking about those oaths or those solemn declarations we make when we go to court, affirming we're speaking the truth, but we're talking about, per se, the things we try to make us appear even better or sound better than what we really are. Amen? Okay, so that's the end of our teaching there. The parallel teachings we find in the book of James, and then what Jesus also taught to his disciples and to those in attendance while he was in the earth. So in conclusion, we see that the teachings and preaching of Jesus left a great impact on the lives of those that heard it, that heard him. And James was not the only one that found wisdom and truth in the teachings of Jesus. And we certainly know that. We look through the Bible and we see Paul, his teachings undergirded by what he learned and heard from and about Jesus. Peter, his teachings are similar to what he heard when he walked with Jesus. John, his teachings are what he heard when he walked with Jesus. So James wasn't the only one that found great wisdom and truths in the teachings of Jesus. We too find great truths and wisdom in Jesus' teaching. And when we learn what he wants from us, we can then share that with others. His words have impact. His words have power. They're life-changing, transforming. Amen. Again, we may not be all that he wants us to be, but we can strive to become what Jesus wants us to be. Amen. And by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, on the inside working, we can see a change on the outside. Come on here, somebody. Won't you just give God a hand clap of praise wherever you are? But he is worthy to be praised. So I want to end our lesson here today with this thought. I want you to think about this. Two things I want you to think about. How has the words of Jesus made a difference in your life? Think about that. You don't have to respond right now. Just to yourself. If you even want to write it down in a personal journal, do that. But how has the words of Jesus made a difference in your life? And then think about this, saints. Write two things that you have gained from this lesson that's important to you. Yet, here it is, important enough for you to share. Amen? It must be something that we've said in these last couple of weeks that has become important for you that you want to tap into and then go the next mile and share that with somebody. It could be somebody in your home, somebody at work, somebody that you meet on the street, in your travels. What good news? Amen. You want to share with somebody. You can put it in a letter and say, listen, I found this to be a blessing to me. I want to share it with you. What two things have you gained that you would be willing to share with someone else? Listen, I thank you so much for being a part of this time and sharing with us here at the Queen's Ministry. We look forward to you continuing your study with us, and we pray that these lessons have been a blessing to you. Praise God. At this time, I just want to say thank God for you and utter these words that have been spoken all day long. A Merry Christmas, and God bless you and your family to be safe. Amen. We love you. Look forward to being with you at our next Bible study time. This is Elder Mary Ellis here at the Queen's Ministry. God bless.